3 weeks from tonight, the Walk of Lights will all be over. So we'll be right in the midst of it 3 weeks from tonight, and things are coming along very nicely, and we're excited. If you haven't seen the lights on yet, you have that pleasure yet to be enjoyed. It's coming. Lots of people putting their efforts forward. One thing I would say, two things we still need. We need resource for this, and we need prayer. The resource part is coming. We have about $10,000 have come in for the Walk of Lights. That's not quite halfway, but we need to pray and ask for God to supply that need. If you feel like you can give or haven't given yet, by all means do so. But I'd like also for you to pray. Apart from our prayer team, I would ask that if God lays on your heart just every day for the next 3 weeks, just pray for this event and give to souls, because that's what this is all about. We're going to have a great impact, I believe, on the community as we share the true meaning of Christmas through this presentation. Well, we are in week 6 of our Journey Deeper, this final focus on our year theme of going deeper. And I'm excited about the message today because I believe the one we're going to share today is really key. In fact, the thoughts I'm going to share this morning were the thoughts that generated this series to begin with. I'll talk more about this, but as I was reading some material, man, it just really struck me, and I realized this is so important. So this message is very key to us today. And there is a fill-in sheet in your bulletin. Be sure to take it out, fill it in, move along with us, and take these thoughts home with you. A natural journey requires steps along the way. And a journey, if you're going to go on a journey, you get in a car and you travel. And as you travel, we might have all these things that we have here, the destination. We've set the destination. We've planned our route. The other traveling companions are in the car with us. And then we have chosen the vehicle that we're moving in, and we've packed our bags. The luggage is there. And so what I want to talk to you this morning about is short stops. Short stops along the way. In fact, R&R, short stops. You can have everything ready and traveling along and still not meet your destination if you don't stop along the way, especially when you're going on a far destination, a deep destination, and that's what we're going on here. Because you might have everything ready, and if you don't stop, you're going to run out of gas. That's happened to me once or twice, traveling along, and all of a sudden the car just stops, and you, what's wrong with the car? What's going to, you know, you go over the side, and you look at the gas gauge, and somehow I had missed it, and I was down on the side of the road. You're not going to meet your destination if you run out of gas, whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual. Now, when you're stopping along the way on these short stops on a natural trip, you can see a 7-Eleven. You can see a Quick Mart, a Go Mart, a Jiffy Stop, a Fast Stop, a Mini Stop, a Stop and Go, or short stops. And that's just a list of about 100 others as I Googled that to see about convenience stores along the way. And we stop. We stop for gas. We stop for snacks. We stop for a bathroom break. We stop to check the map, to reset the GPS, and a dozen other things. And even though guys want to keep on going, there's other people in the car. We need to stop. We need to stop. And so it is the same in a spiritual journey. This message is so important this morning, and I believe it's key. Not because the thoughts I'm going to share this morning are more important than the other messages, but it is that we don't do this. In fact, I would venture to say nobody's doing this. There's no one here in this congregation that's going to do what I'm going to present to you this morning. And I think that's our problem. That's why we don't reach our destination. That's why we're all gung-ho and we're in the car and we're starting off and the tank's full of gas and we're heading out. We're all excited. But many of us are on the side of the road, run out of gas, spiritual gas, and we're not reaching our destination. The reason I think this is so important, because I think this is one area where we as a church and Christians in general fall down on. And yet it's so, so vitally important. And my prayer is that we will absorb and take this message today and realize that we all need R&R short stops along the way. Here's your first fill-in. Our spiritual journey requires spiritual stops to refresh and refocus. Refresh and refocus. R&R. So it's just not a short stop. It is a short stop, but it's an R&R focus. We need to refresh, refocus as we stop along the way. Why do we need this? Well, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And so even though this is referring to an aging process, the outward man is perishing, but it's also true in the natural. Our outward being, our body, our soul, it doesn't maintain itself. It wears down. And it's to be replenished by the inward man that's being renewed day by day. There's a renewal process that we need to take advantage of if we're not going to lose heart. Isn't that the case? We start off, we have a good goal, we believe what God wants us to do, we're excited, but somehow along the way we lose heart, we lose the energy, we lose the drive. And we want to maintain it, but we find it hard to do so. The outward man perishes. But the key is for the inward man to be renewed day by day. Now, this discipline of stopping and being renewed is a very powerful thing just within itself. Just the practice of stopping and refreshing yourself is important. And it's like a vehicle that we talked about in the fourth week, about a habit. This habit's very strong and has been utilized by many religions and so forth. Muslims who follow Islam, this is their prime thing that they do. They pray five times a day. Five times a day. They pray pre-dawn. Some of us that went on the last journey we did to Israel and the Holy Land, we were in Jordan, and we were awakened early in the morning, pre-dawn, with the call to prayer. And some people had left their windows open, and it really woke them up. Pre-dawn, prayer. They also pray at noon. They pray in the afternoon. They pray at sunset, and they pray in the evening. I remember being on a flight a few years back, and during the flight, people got up and they went to the back of the plane, and I looked back and there were a number, they were Muslims, and they had knelt down and they were praying. It was their time of prayer. Now you would think, well, why didn't they just while we're on a plane? You know, we wouldn't need to really be praying because it's awkward to pray now, and we doubt now, so we won't pray now. But that's not their belief. That's not their practice. It was the time of prayer. We pray five times a day. And what strength it has given to a religion that are praying to a God that's not the God of the Bible. And yet it gives them such a discipline and such a fervor and a connection that even if you live in a Muslim country, early in the morning, pre-dawn, you're going to hear that call to prayer. It's a strength. The habit itself has strength. Now you move on to Jewish people. Jewish people pray, and they pray three times a day. They pray a morning prayer, they pray an afternoon prayer, and they pray an evening prayer. Now, back 2,000 years ago, a little over 2,000 years ago, they were overrun and they were exiled and they were dispersed through all the nations of the world. And in exile, the rabbis, even though this was a practice, but it was really regimented into the Jewish faith during that time of exile, and they prayed 3 times a day. Isn't it amazing that 2,000 years later, in 1948, those people were still identifiable? They gathered from all the nations of the world as a people and went back to Palestine and formed a nation. People said it's incredible. That can happen. How did that happen? How could people maintain their identity after all those years? It's because they had this, one of the reasons was they had this practice. They prayed 3 times a day. They kept the Sabbath. On that Sabbath eve, the father of the home stood and blessed his family. And at the end of the prayer, he would say, and next year, this is in their special feast times, they would say, next year in Jerusalem. Just the habit alone of stopping, refreshing yourself in your beliefs caused the Jewish nation, even though in exile, spread all over the world, to be identified and be able to gather back. Now, to me, that's amazing. The world still shakes its head to say, how can that happen? Now, here's your next fill-in. Throughout history, God's people have had scheduled times to stop and renew spiritually. All through history, Christians, people in the Bible, have had scheduled times to stop and renew spiritually. We talked when we were sharing about the habit of in the fourth week about a vehicle. We talked about Daniel praying 3 times a day. And when the decree came out from the king that you couldn't pray or you're going to be killed, Daniel still prayed. He could have said, if anybody could have said, well, the discipline is, you know, it's not in the discipline, it's in the heart of it. And I'll just pray to myself. I'll pray to God, but I'll just pray under my breath. There's no sense me being arrested and taken away and thrown in the lion's den. Wouldn't we think that? I mean, I think I would think that way. I would go to the heart of it rather than saying, no, this is a practice. This is a discipline. This is something I'm going to stop. It was so ingrained in Daniel that he opened his window and prayed. He was arrested, thrown in the lion's den, but God delivered him. But it was something of faith. It was something they practiced. David, man after God's own heart. It says in Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. David, one of his practices, what kept him in that communion with God? It wasn't just happenstance. Maybe I'll pray today, maybe when I feel like it. No, he had definite times. He prayed in the morning. He prayed at noon. He prayed in the afternoon. He wrote his psalms, no doubt, during those times. It was a discipline to stop and refresh yourself spiritually. I'm talking about this practice of short stops. Now, the thing that really launched this message series was a book I read, and in it, the pastor who wrote the book wanted to investigate the different kinds of prayer, and he traveled to monasteries, and he actually lived the life of a monk. And he, in his book, he shared about the prayer times of the monks, and it was a regimented times. They prayed 5 times a day. There were names given to the times of prayer. Some of them are familiar with it. The first one was at 6:45 in the morning. It was the office of Lauds. That was the first prayer that they prayed. 11:30, they gathered and had the Eucharist and communion. At 2:15 in the afternoon, it was the office of Known, N-O-N-E, the office of Known. And they stopped and they prayed. Then at 5:30 in the afternoon, this is one some of us are familiar with, the office of Vespers. Even Christian camps, they'll have Vespers in late afternoon. But that comes from this practice of the office of Vespers. And then 8:30 in the evening was the office of Vigil, the fifth time that they prayed. This pastor that wrote the book talked about how the prayer times drew him closer to the Lord, even though he knew it's outward, and I'm not advocating that people go away into a monastery, but because he had life, he loved the Lord, as he exercised and practiced with the monks, he said, I can't believe the strength I had, the vitality I had, the joy it brought to me, that these five times a day of stopping to pray so refreshed his heart and soul. Now, when I was reading that, it registered with me because I knew of Daniel praying and David praying. And different times I had thought to myself, I would like to pray three times a day. And, you know, you'd start it for a bit and then you stop. And so as I was reading this, it really struck me. And I thought, wow, what if I or our congregation would take on this practice of short stops, where we could stop what we're doing, refresh ourselves spiritually. The outward man perishes. The outward man loses its strength. But to be renewed in my spirit. And the term office, the office of lauds, the office of known, the office of vespers. You know, I was reading this term office, and I, you know, we think it's a strange word, you know. And what does it mean, and why do they use it in the monasteries? Office is from that Greek word of practice, or, you know, we go to the office to work. It was something that you did. It was a practice you carried out. And I'm wanting to share with you today that we need this aspect to stop. We don't stop enough. We're the sense that we're just going to keep going. And a lot of times we're keeping to going towards a spiritual goal. It's like we're in the car, we're traveling along, and we're surprised when we run out of gas. But we need to have a practice set in that we say, I'm going to stop. I'm going to get some gas. I'm going to get some snacks. I'm going to refresh myself for the next leg of the journey. And it should be a practice that we have that enables us to be refreshed. So what should we do today? Do we go into this discipline alone of start at 6:45, 11:30, 2:15? No, I don't think that that's what we should do. But we do need to have times. Here's your next fill-in. God's plan for success includes daily times of renewal. Daily times of renewal. It's not enough to renew yourself week to week, because you're going to run out of gas in between. It's not enough even from Sunday to Wednesday. It's not going to be enough. There has to be a time when you stop. And it has to be often enough to replenish yourself so that you can be renewed. Now, here's this. God's plan is for this. This is not that catches him by surprise. No, he wants us to do this. Listen to these verses. Titus 3:5. According to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. When we're saved, God wants us to be washed and saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. But then it uses this phrase, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And if you read the New Testament, you'll find they were all filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But then a little while later, they were going through a difficult time, said they all gathered together as a church, they prayed, and then it says they were refilled with the Holy Spirit. And over again in the scripture, it'll say they were filled again with the Holy Spirit. In fact, when they were looking for elders and deacons, he said, look out, you men who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, they all were Christians. They all would have been saved. They all would have been born again. But he said, make sure you find some people that are filled. In other words, these are people that have stopped, renewed themselves in the Holy Spirit. It hasn't run dry. They are being replenished by the Holy Spirit. This is God's plan, not a one-time filling, but an ongoing renewing of the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. Why do we need to do this? Because we leak. We leak. The outward man just gets tired. It can be filled and going in a good direction, and yet just the activities and the responsibilities we carry, even good things, we run out of spiritual fuel. So we need to refuel. We need to stop. Now, it shouldn't just be outward. It should be driven by passion. Here's your next fill-in. Spiritual hunger drives me to refresh my soul and refocus on my goal. Now, here's where the R&R comes in. We need to refresh our soul, and we need to refocus on the goal, the destination. We need definite stops in our daily routine that allows us to refresh our soul and refocus on the goal. Now, let's look at the first one first. It says in Psalm 23:3, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So here's the two aspects. He's going to restore your soul, refurbish your soul. And he's going to lead you and guide you in a path that's for him. So that's your goal. That's your destination. Twin aspects. And say it with me. I'll say it first, then you repeat it with me. God wants us to refresh our soul and refocus on our goal. You ready? God wants us to refresh our soul and refocus on our goal. The R and R in the shortstop. So just as we said in the natural, we need to stop, so we do in the spiritual, and have our souls refreshed. And it's refreshed from our spirit. See, we're body, what you're looking at, soul, my psyche, my mind, my will, and my emotion, and the deepest part of us is our spirit, that which joins with God's spirit. We're body, soul, and spirit. Our psyche will actually, our body wears our soul, our psyche. So your choices, your emotions, the way you think, your attitudes, your body's expressing your soul. Now what happens many times is that we are moving in the area of our soul, but our soul has to be generated and refreshed by our spirit that's within us. And your soul runs down. Do you ever refresh a page on the computer? It got stale. It froze. Now, how am I going to get out of that? Well, there's three keys, and most of us know it. Push that one, push them all together, and it brings up and it gets you out of that frozen state. The computer has to be rebooted, has to be refreshed. A lot of times you got lots of problems. Kay sometimes will come to me and say, well, this isn't, and I said, just start the computer. Turn your computer off and start it again. And many times, it's amazing how many times that solves the problem. Just start over again. It's the same with our soul. Your soul, the way you're thinking, the choices you make, your feelings, it needs to be infused, driven by your spirit. It has to be hunger. You see, just outward disciplines that I'm going to pray so many times, that's not enough. It has a power within itself, but it's not enough. Whatever we're doing, and this is what I'm challenging you. I'm challenging us to have R&R shortstops. But it has to be driven by our passion, our desire for God, our love for God, wanting to reach our goal, understanding that our soul runs down. And that I can't just live a soulish life. I need to live a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. He wants to restore my soul. Our soul is buoyant. It floats. It floats on the surface. And so it's subject to the atmosphere and the conditions. When a storm comes up, your soul on the surface will be blown in every which direction. Someone says something, you're going to react. A hard time comes, you're going to get down. You're going to be discouraged. What you have to do is go deeper with your soul. You have to anchor your soul in your spirit. Your spirit is joined with God's spirit. Your spirit is excited. Your spirit is one with God. The Bible says your spirit can't sin because it's connected with God's spirit. My flesh can sin, and it sins many times when my soul, my mind, my will, and emotion takes me in the wrong direction. See, you will be up and down and all over the place if you don't anchor your soul in your spirit and have your soul refreshed. Not just Sunday to Sunday or day to day even, but during your day, constantly refreshing your soul. Deepen it. Get it down so that when things happen, you're not reacting in the old way, following the old groove, following the old habit. No, I'm refreshing my thoughts and my attitudes. I'm rethinking how my responses. I don't want to just go with the wind that's blowing and everybody else on the sea. I want to be deep. I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper in the Lord. This is what makes us solid and secure and lights in this world, because we're different. Our soul is anchored. Now, the way you get your soul anchored is connecting to the Spirit. We need to be refueled. The planes that fly, many of the military planes, they are refueled in flight. They have to come and be refueled. We have to be refueled. Now, the problem with us, we have to stop. From a physical point of view, you have to stop. Now, I know we have to pray daily. Let's put it this way. Pray without ceasing. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. So, yes, the Lord comes to my mind 100 times a day. It's something I'm going through. I turn to the Lord and I ask him, and we need to continue to do that. We need to pray without ceasing. But there's something different when you stop. You pull off the road and you stop so your soul can be refreshed. You're taking time. You might feel like you're losing time, but really you're being refueled. You're being re-energized. Without it, you will drift. You need to refresh your soul. And here's the second R. You need to refocus on the goal. Refocus on the goal. We talked in the very first message of destination. Where do you want to go? Where you want to be? We gave you 7 areas of your life. And we asked you to narrow it down to one thing. One area, one goal I want to accomplish that I'm going to focus on. That's your goal. But how often do we get distracted? As you're driving in the natural, there's lots of billboards. There's lots of attractions along the side. That's not necessarily sin. They're just interesting and takes my time. And we pull off. And we don't get to our destination. And many times we go round and around in circles. And I have to say, I've seen that in my own life. I see it in many Christians' life. They really do have a heart to reach the destination. They really have done a lot of things. They plan the routes. They have good companions. But they run out of gas and they get distracted. It's time to reset the GPS when you stop. To say, okay, what's my goal? I'm about to do this, but what's my goal? What's my spiritual goal? I don't want to just be tossed on the surface. I need my soul to get down so that he directs my steps. He's directing me on a straight path to my destination. This is what we need. This is what I need. I believe this is key for many, many Christians. We don't want to go to the side where it's just outward disciplines and it's dead and it's hard and it's lifeless. We don't want to just go through empty outward routines. Jesus doesn't want that either. God doesn't want it. It says in Isaiah chapter 1 that the Lord tired of their outward observances. And he said, you worship me with your mouth, but your hearts are far from me. God wants our hearts engaged. He wants our spirit to engage our soul so that the things we do, it's not out of empty religious observances. But I'm doing these things because I have a passion for God and I recognize my soul gets depleted. Now, I don't know about you. I hope that registers with you, and I believe it does, because I think everyone here is good-willed. We have a desire. We want to serve God. We got good plans. If I talk to you, you tell me your goals, and then you tell me, well, I just seem to not follow through. I don't seem to do it. We don't realize we've run out of gas, or we've got distracted, and we're just sitting, and we're not focused, and we're not moving forward. So let's say it one more time. When we stop for these short stops, we want to refresh our soul and refocus on our goal. Now, I only had about 3 or 4 people. Let's try it again. We need to refresh our soul and refocus on our goal. That is the short stop. This is what is key. And it's driven by a heart that loves God and a passion and a desire for him. Here's what the scripture says in Hebrews 12:12. Strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. So we get tired. Our hands hang down. Spiritually, our hands hang down. Our knees get feeble. We're not doing the things we know we should do, and we don't know how to overcome it. But if you will let God infuse your soul, and you begin to see the goal, and you're refocusing on it, I tell you, not only will the habit have power, but now you're releasing a spiritual power into your life by the living God that's in agreement with you and will take you towards your destination. We all know those feelings of excitement when we're filled. But what we fail to do is to keep being filled over and over again. Here's your next fill-in. View each day as a spiritual journey. View each day as a spiritual journey. Now, this is vital. You need to realize your journey with God is this day. When you get up in the morning, say, this day I'm on a spiritual journey. But what we fail to realize, during the day you're going to run out. It's not enough to be filled in the morning after your prayer time and go out all excited, because I've done that. And then partway through the day, I find because I've shifted to another activity and I've lost my focus, or the storm has blown my soul a little bit because it's too much on the surface, that I'm not doing what I should do. And you have to realize it's a daily journey, but the day has to be broken into legs. You see, it's like the logistics. In the military, they talk about logistics, and this is what it means. The organization of moving and housing and supplying troops and equipment. So an army, they're wanting to take an objective, and it's not just enough for them to say, let's go, guys, and charge off. No, the logistics is, how are we going to supply that army? How are we going to move the equipment? How are we going to feed them? Where are they going to sleep? How are we going to get the oil to our equipment and, you know, the gas to the equipment to keep it moving forward? That is the logistics of it. And many wars are won or lost in the logistics. The army could have been stronger, but because they failed in the logistics, they were defeated. Why, this speaks to me. I have to realize I have to have a sense that I need to be replenished. And I need to maintain my resolve in spiritual matters. And I'm suggesting to you that the biblical way to do this is short stops, not long stops, not hour-long stops, but short stops along the way that refreshes your soul and refocuses you on the goal. That is the logistics you need to think about this morning. Now, as I said before, I was praying about this and thinking about it, thinking, well, it's not just setting the clock for a certain time, although for some people that might be a good way. But I don't want this to be ritual. I want it to be of life. And what I felt the Lord speak to me, and as I looked at my own life, how do I live my life? I realized that during my day, I have transitions. I move from one thing to another thing, one activity to another activity. And I felt that what the Lord was saying to me is in that transition time, take the short stop. And here's your fill-in. Let your transition trigger an intermission. Let the transition of your day trigger an intermission. A time when you refresh your soul and you refocus. See, even intermission. I have a mission. This is an intermission. And during that transition, it's a segue. You have heard the term segue and how newscasts like to segue from one topic to the next. In our service, we talk about the segues. How are we going to go from one aspect of the service to the next aspect of the service? A segue. A segue is the movement of one activity to another. And just as we have physical segues, we need to make sure we make spiritual segues. So every time there's a physical shift, this is my suggestion to us. And that's why I don't believe anybody's doing this. And if you are, let me know, because I'd love to see how it works for you. But as you make a transition in your day to a different activity, that triggers in your mind, I need to stop right here. Just a little short stop. Might only be 2 minutes, maybe 4 minutes. I just need to stop right now to refresh my soul, that I am, my soul's deepened into my spirit. And I realize as I'm about that activity, I'm on target. This is what God wants me to do. This is the straight path for my feet. So let the transition trigger intermission, so that when you shift physically, you shift spiritually. You're setting a time for a short stop. Your next fill-in is this. During your short stop, pray, listen, and write. Now, it doesn't have to be this regimented, but that's the way it came to me. In other words, during this short stop, you need to have something you do to refresh your soul. It might be a prayer. David, when we were talking about this as we were preparing for these messages, and I was talking about this, and David said, I have this book. In fact, he bought me one. I should have brought it with me. But I remember David saying, apart from my Bible, this is the most valuable book I have. And it was a book of prayers for different occasions. You could just open it up, flip. This is how I'm feeling. I'm lonely, or I'm feeling about it. And it was a prayer written out. And it was just a book of prayers, but linked to how you were feeling. What was it doing? It was actually replenishing our soul. So when you feel a lack in one area, or maybe getting up in the morning, and you realize, I want to have a prayer. I pray every day that's pertinent to every day. And so sometimes you can just sort of, well, I'll just pray my thoughts, which is okay. I mean, it's got to come from the heart. But sometimes just having a written prayer that you've thought about yourself, or you've written out yourself. Say, at noon hour, I'm going to read this prayer to myself, because I know if I read that, this is my heart. And I'm saying, God, I need you. And you're replenishing, refreshing your soul. And then you want to refocus on your goal. And so you are praying and you're asking God. You might be taking that destination again. That you're saying, God, you know my heart today. I want to move this direction. And God, I'm going to be doing this activity. Help me now, Lord, that my soul is fixed in your spirit so that my body is expressing what your spirit is saying inside of me. So pray and then listen. You might listen to music because everyone's refreshed in a different way. Some people are refreshed by listening to music. It might be that you'll just take a time at a transition and you put a song on that you know stirs your heart, speaks to your soul, and you take the 2 or 2 minutes and 30 seconds to listen to the song. Or maybe you take the time, you know there's a spiritual blog, and I'm just going to take time right now, this 2 minutes, I'm going to listen to this blog, or I'm going to read this blog. And you're refreshing your soul. So you need to, and then listen to what God says to you. In that moment, he'll speak to you. It doesn't take a lot. He's right close. All you got to do is zero in. We're so busy during the day, we don't hear his voice. You might be saying, God, I'm going into this meeting right now. And so yeah, I want my soul to be replenished. I want to be on target. I don't want to be shaken by what's happening in the meeting or what someone says. I don't want to be blown about. I want my soul to be fixed on you, Lord. And Lord, what would be your goal for me to be in that meeting? How would I be a light? How would I be a benefit to people in that meeting? So you're refreshing your soul and you're refocusing on the goal. And then God will drop something in your heart. Then just write it down. Keep a journal. Start a journal. Just things God speaks to you. It might just be a simple thought. He's not going to speak to you necessarily in an audible voice. You'll just feel an inner impression as you're praying. And you just jot it down. I tell you, if you'll do this on a regular basis during your day, you will refresh your soul and refocus on your goal. You're going to keep strong. You're going to keep healthy. You're going to keep moving forward. We need these short stops along the way. That's true. Yeah, there's a good program on at 8:45. All right, here's your last fill-in. Establish 5 R&R stops during the transitions of your day. Now, here's just a suggestion. But I believe they're important ones because they are in the transitions of your day. Here's the first one. Awakening. Say 6 o'clock whenever you get up, the time shifts. But a transition from sleep to wakefulness. You're moving from being asleep to being awake. You need to take a short stop right then before you get out of bed, before you do anything else, and just say, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you with me. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Lord, thank you for health and strength. Thank you for the responsibilities you've given me this day. I want to live my life to your end, your purposes. I want to be a light in the world. Get your mind, your thoughts, your emotion connected with God's spirit. You might even want to consider a destination that you have. Lord, here's what I desire. Here's my spiritual goal today. Help me, Lord. Just take 2 or 3 minutes, a short stop as you make that transition. Here's the next one, noon. Transition from morning to afternoon. We all go through that transition. We have responsibilities in the morning, but then we're moving to afternoon activities. You need to, at that moment, just stop again. Ask God, what's his agenda for you in the activities you have that afternoon? Refresh your soul again. Refocus on the goal. Then the next one is late afternoon, maybe 5 a.m., or whenever you transition from work to family. Now, ladies, you're at home, you've already been working with the family. Others that are working outside the home, you're going home and you're going to be re-engaging with your family. Many times people are focused on one aspect and then they get home, but their soul is buoyant. It's come to the surface. Now something is said and you pick up on it, and the first thing you know, you're in an argument. And there's tension. You need to stop in that transition. Ask God, Lord, I'm going home. Lord, I know that you want me to be the father or the mother or the member of the family you are. Help me to be an instrument for good in my family. Here's how I know attention area. Lord, just let my soul be settled in you. Let me be led of your Holy Spirit. Let me have proper attitudes. You're refreshing your soul. And then you're refocusing on the goal. You're saying, this is the goal for me in my home. This is what I want to do. You just take a short stop to be replenished. Then here's another aspect. After dinner, it's the transition from afternoon to evening. Evening activities are usually different. They can be leisure, or maybe you have to do something that evening. But rather than just running out of gas because you've been doing it all day, now just stop before you go out, just a minute or two. Just say, Lord, refresh my soul. Lord, I'm going out this evening. I'm going to be meeting so-and-so. Or I'm going to be watching television. Lord, I don't want to just watch whatever comes on. What would you say to me? How would you want me to spend this evening? How would this evening be spent on target for you? And it's not done out of a duty. It's done out of a zeal for the Lord and a passion for God. And you're just taking time to stop and have an R&R. You're refreshed and you're refocused. The last one's retiring. Transition from wakefulness to sleep. Many times the scripture talks about the thoughts on your bed. And usually what you go to bed with and the thoughts on your mind will affect what you wake up with. And so it's again just the time to refresh, to renew. Short stops. I wonder if we could stand together. I want to pray for us. You know, we're at a very important juncture here. Because I really believe this is a key. I said at the beginning, I doubt whether anybody's doing this. And it may be that that's why we're not having a success that we all desire. After hearing this message, what's my hope? My hope would be for a few of you to do it. My hope would be that I would do it. But could we pray for a miracle right now? That just as I said at the beginning that none of us are doing it, what if we just believe for a miracle now that all of us would start doing it? What would happen in this church? We're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Our physical actions are coming out of our soul, anchored in our spirit, being refreshed and on target every moment. I really believe this is so key. Not in the discipline alone. It's in the power of God that we'll bring to us. We do our part and God's going to do his part. And I think we're going to see breakthroughs. You're going to reach your destination much faster than you ever thought you could. Because we're refreshed and we have fresh focus. Father, I just pray for myself, for my family, pray for every member here today that on this journey deeper, Lord, we would really institute these short stops in our day. And may each person know in their own heart and life where they should be. Would they take the time to be definitely establish it as sure as Daniel established it in his life, that he took the time in those transitions, he planned it, he thought it out. And Lord, I ask that you would meet us in those times, refresh our soul, and help us to be refocused on the goal you have for each and every one of us. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name for your honor and glory. Amen and amen.